having technical difficulties this morning. Today is Wednesday, August 19, 2020. My name is Elva Nuno O'Donnell, and I am the Deputy Advisory Agency for this case. Also joining me today are members of the Subdivision Committee who will introduce themselves, starting with BOE.
Georgia Galvanesian, Bureau of Engineering, as my colleague is here, go ahead.
Julia Lee, Bureau of Engineering.
Gil de la Cruz.
Go ahead.
Gil de la Cruz, Bureau of Street Lighting.
Sagaya Kennebong, Recreation and Parks.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other members of the committee present? Having no other members present, let us proceed. Today, we will be holding a joint public hearing for VTP 73718 and for the required hearing officer hearing for a project going before the City Planning Commission under CPC 2014-7005-ZC-HD-DB-MCUP-CUSPR for a mixed-use project comprised of 210 residential dwelling units, 136 hotel guest rooms, and approximately 12,570 square feet of commercial and restaurant uses for property located at 1756 1760 North Argyle Avenue, 6210, 6224 West Yucca Street, and 1765, 1771, 1777, and 1779 North Vista Del Mar Avenue. During the hearing today, the advisory agency will consider the information contained in the environmental impact report prepared for this project, which includes the draft EIR number END2014-4706 EIR dated April 23, 2020, and the final EIR dated August 7, 2020, 6220 West Yucca Project EIR, as well as the whole of the administrative record. A vesting tentative tract map to allow the merger and re-subdivision of 7 lots into 1 master ground lot and 27 airspace lots for mixed-use development on an approximately 1.16 acre site, and a haul route for the export of up to 47,994 cubic yards of soil. Further, in connection with modified alternative 2 identified in the final EIR, the advisory agency will also consider the information contained in the environmental impact report prepared for this project, which includes the draft EIR END2014-4706 EIR, dated August 23, 2020, and the final EIR dated August 7, 2020, as well as the whole of the administrative record. A vesting tentative tract map, stamp dated July 27, 2020, to allow for the merger and subdivision of 4 lots into 1 master ground lot for condominium purposes and 5 airspace lots for a mixed-use development on an approximately 0.90 acre, and a haul route for the export of up to 23,833 cubic yards of soil. The hearing officer, Alan Como, will also be taking testimony on the concurrent case CPC 2014-4705, ZC-HD-DB-MCUP-CUSPR, which includes a request for a zone change and height district change to TQC2-2D-SN, TQC2-2D, TQR3-2D, a master conditional use permit for on-site sales for 5 establishments, a conditional use permit to allow live entertainment and dancing, a conditional use to allow a hotel within 500 feet of an R-zone, a conditional use for a major development project, and a 10% increase in floor area the 6.6:1 FAR and site plan review. The hearing officer will also take testimony related to modified alternative 2, which includes a request for a zone change, height district change to TQC2-2D-SN, TQC2-2D, TQR3-2D, a density bonus compliance review for a housing development project totaling 271 dwelling units and reserving 8%, 17 dwelling units, of its units as very low income restricted affordable units with an on-menu incentive to permit a 10% increase in allowable floor area. A master conditional use permit for on-site sales for three establishments and site plan review. The format of the hearing is as follows. Staff will give a presentation of the proposed project. The applicant's representative will then make a presentation and address any concerns with the track map staff report. The subdivision committee will then be given an opportunity to ask questions to staff and the applicant. Then I will open the hearing for public comment. Please state your name and address for the record. Focus your comments on the case before us, and please do not repeat what previous speakers have stated. We will recall the applicant or its representative back to answer additional questions or address some concerns raised by the public. I will then close the public comment period and give the committee an opportunity to deliberate on the case. The subdivision case heard today will be either approved, approved with additional conditions, denied, or taken under consideration. No decision will be made today on the concurrent city plan commission case. In conformity with Governor's Executive Order N-29-20 and due to concerns over COVID-19, this hearing will be conducted entirely telephonically. Before I begin, I will be sharing some general instructions on virtual meeting format. We will be following the following agenda order. Agendas are available through the Planning Department website by clicking About, Commission, Boards and Hearings, and then Hearings. The link to meeting presentations and other relevant documents are located on the first page of the agenda or by visiting tinyurl.com/share-drive. If you would like to follow along with the applicant, please do so from your home devices using this link. Please press *9 on your phone when public comment is open for the item you wish to speak on. Planning staff will announce the last 4 digits of your phone number, if available, when it is your turn to speak. You will hear a message that states you are unmuted. We ask that you please first state your name clearly and then proceed with your comments. To ensure that you are heard clearly, please be mindful of background noise. Once you have concluded your public comment, please state as such. Your audio will then be muted, and we will move on to the next speaker. If you have any documents or written comments for submission, please submit them by email to the planner, whose email address is shown on the hearing notice. If you'd like to be added to the interested parties list to receive determination letters for any agenda items in today's meeting, please provide your email or mailing address information and case number associated with the item using the link provided on the agenda or email the staff planner. Please understand that this is a new format for our meetings, and we thank you in advance for your patience, as staff may need extra time to organize the callers and resolve any technical issues. Staff, when you are ready, please present your case.
Good morning. This is Alan Como, planning staff. The request before the Deputy Advisory Agency is a vesting tentative track map stamp dated May 14th, 2020, which includes the merger and re-subdivision of 7 lots, May 14th, 2020, I apologize, which includes the merger and re-subdivision of 7 lots into 1 master ground lot and 27 airspace lots. For a mixed-use development on an approximately 1.16 acre, that's 50,322 square foot site, and a haul route for the export of approximately 41,994 cubic yards of soil in conjunction with the project for a mixed-use development with up to 316,948 square feet of floor area within a new 20-story tower, Building 1, and a new 3-story building, Building 2, on an approximately 1.16-acre site. Building 1 would include up to 197 multifamily residential units, 136 hotel guest rooms, and approximately 12,570 square feet of commercial restaurant uses. Building 2 would include up to 13 residential units. Additionally, before the Deputy Advisory Agency for consideration is a vesting tentative tract map stamp dated July 27th, 2020, for the merger and re-subdivision of 4 lots into 1 master ground lot for condominium purposes and 5 airspace lots for a mixed-use development on an approximately 0.90 acre, that's 39,375 square foot portion of the overall 1.16 acre project site, and a haul route for the export of 23,833 cubic yards of soil in conjunction with Modified Alternative 2, which is identified in the final EIR, which is for a mixed-use development with up to 316,948 square feet of floor area within a new 30-story tower, building one, and two existing one- and two-story single-family buildings, which addresses 1765 and 1771 Vista Del Mar Avenue. Building one would include up to 269 multifamily residential units, 17 of which would be set aside for very low income households, and approximately 7,760 square feet of commercial and restaurant uses. Regarding case number VTT73718, reports were received from the Bureau of Engineering, Department of Building and Safety Zoning and Grading, LAFD, LADWP, Bureau of Street Lighting, and Department of Rec and Parks. Their comments have been incorporated as conditions of approval. After the draft staff report was prepared, additional comments were received from LADOT addressing conditions of approval and haul route conditions in two separate letters that are dated August 17th, 2020. Those conditions have been given to the Deputy Advisory Agency and will be added to the letter of determination for this case. Additionally, Bureau of Street Lighting submitted a revised comment letter on August 17th, 2020, with a revision to their condition, which will also be reflected in the letter of determination. We have a member of Bureau of Street Lighting staff, Gil De La Cruz, with us today, who can also address that make sure that that condition is addressed and read into the record. Additionally, the Department of Rec and Park submitted a corrected condition, which has been received and will be incorporated in the letter of determination, which has also been given to the Deputy Advisory Agency for their review. And we have a member of Rec and Park staff with us who can also address that. The Deputy Advisory Agency has a copy of these additional letters that were received. Planning staff has received five emails with concerns about review time, the modified alternative, police impact, solid waste impacts, seismic issues, and disagreement with the responses to the comments in the final EIR. One of these emails remained opposed to the project but encouraged support of Modified Alternative 2. Planning staff has received approximately 14 emails in support of Modified Alternative 2. All of these emails have been made available to the Deputy Advisory Agency for review. Staff would like to respond to a letter received as an attachment to one of the above referenced emails from Casey Madron on August 18th, 2020. The letter includes no new substantial evidence nor presents deficiencies in the environmental impact report, which are substantiated by evidence. In addition, the commenter fails to present substantial evidence that the proposed project would necessitate a new facility. As discussed in the draft EIR, significant impacts under CEQA consist of adverse changes in any of the physical conditions within the area of a project, and potential impacts on emergency response times are not an environmental impact that CEQA requires a project to mitigate. In the City of Hayward versus Board of Trustees of California State University 2015, the court found Section 35 of Article 13 of the California Constitution requires local agencies to provide public safety services, and that it is reasonable to assume that the city will comply with that provision to ensure that public safety services are provided. Finally, the commenter includes a discussion about solid waste, but includes no new substantial evidence, nor presents deficiencies in the environmental impact report, which are substantiated by evidence. The project would comply with City of Sanitation and Building and Safety requirements, which per Ordinance 181519 require compliance with AB 939. Staff would also like to respond to a letter received as an attachment to one of the above referenced emails. Actually, it wasn't from an email, it was hand-delivered, from J.H. McQuiston, which was delivered to department staff on August 18th, 2020. The letter includes no new substantial evidence, nor presents deficiencies in the environmental impact report, which are substantiated by evidence. The Department of Grading Division has reviewed the track map and recommends conditions in geology report approval letter dated February 20th, 2015, which is log number 85579-01, and the soils report approval letter dated October 24th, 2019, which is log number 110300. Additional information is available in the draft EIR and in the subdivision findings. The project applicant submitted an application to the governor for certification of the project as an environmental leadership development project, which is known as ELDP, under AB 900. And on July 27th, 2017, the governor certified the project as ELDP, which includes certification that the project would result in at least $100 million in economic investment in the state, provide high-wage, highly skilled jobs, qualify for LEED certification, LEED silver certification to be located on an infill site, and to meet stringent energy and transportation efficiency standards. In addition, the whole of the administrative record has been made available on the city's website. Planning Department staff recommends that the advisory agency certify the environmental impact report prepared for this project and approve vesting track number 73718, subject to the standard conditions and additional and revised conditions submitted by LADOT, Bureau of Street Lighting, and Rec and Parks. Those letters have already been previously referenced. In addition, this is the scheduled public hearing for associated case CPC 2014-4705-ZCHDDB-MCUP-CUSPR, involving property located at 1756-1760 North Argyle Avenue, 6210 through 6224 West Yucca Street, and 1765, 1771, 1779, and 1777 and 1779 North Vista del Mar Avenue. The project consists of construction and operation of a mixed-use development with up to 316,948 square feet of floor area within a new 20-story building, tower building one, and a new three-story building two on an approximately 1.16 acre site. Building one would include up to 197 multifamily residential units, 136 hotel guest rooms, and approximately 12,570 square feet of commercial restaurant uses. Building two would include up to 13 residential units. Six levels of subterranean and above ground automobile parking would be located within the podium structure of building one and the two-level parking structure within building two. Six existing residential buildings containing 44 residential units would be removed from the project site. The project is a environmental leadership development project, ELDP. This case involves environmental impact report, which includes draft EIR, ENV 2014-4706 EIR, which is State Clearinghouse number 2015111073, dated April 2020, and the final EIR dated August 7th, 2020, as well as the whole of the administrative record. And case CPC 2014-4705, ZCHDDB-MCUP-CUSPR, involves the approval of a zone change and height district change from C4 2D-SN to TQC2-2D-SN, from R42D to TQC2-2D, and from QR31XL to TQR3-2D. A master conditional use permit to allow for the sale and dispensing of alcohol for on-site consumption at five establishments within the hotel and commercial uses of the project site, a conditional use permit to allow for live entertainment and dancing within the commercial uses of the project site, a conditional use permit to allow a hotel within 500 feet of an R zone, a conditional use permit for a major development project for a building which contains more than 100,000 square feet of non-residential floor area in a C-zone, and to allow a 10% increase in the allowable floor area ratio for the project up to 6.6 to 1 FAR. And a site plan review for development project which creates over 50,000 square feet of non-residential floor area and over 50 dwelling units. In addition, the hearing officer will also take testimony on behalf of the City Planning Commission for Modified Alternative 2, which, again, identified in the final EIR, which consists of the construction and operation of a mixed-use development with up to 316,948 square feet of floor area within a new 30-story tower, referenced as Building 1, and two existing one- and two-story single-family buildings at 1765 and 1771 Vista Del Mar Avenue on an approximately 1.16-acre site. Building 1 would consist of up to 269 multifamily residential units, 17 of which would be set aside for very low-income households, and approximately 7,760 square feet of commercial and restaurant uses. The residence at 1771 Vista Del Mar Avenue would remain as a single family use, and the residence at 1765 Vista Del Mar Avenue, which currently contains three residential units, would be converted back to a single family use. Five levels of subterranean and above ground automobile parking would be located within the podium structure of Building 1, and surface parking would be provided for the two single family residences. Four existing residential buildings containing 40 residential units would be removed from the project site. Modified Alternative 2 is also an ELDP project. Modified Alternative 2 includes an Environmental Impact Report, ENV 2014-4706 EIR, State Clearinghouse Number 2015-111073, dated April 2020, and the final EIR dated August 7th, 2020, as well as the whole of the administrative record. The following requested entitlements: a zone change and height district change from C4-2DSN to TQC2-2DSN, from R4-2D to TQC2-2D, and from QR31XL to TQR32D. A density bonus compliance review for a housing development project totaling up to 271 dwelling units and reserving 8%, 17% of the dwelling units of its units as very low income restricted affordable units for a period of 55 years with the following requested incentive: an on-menu incentive to permit a 10% increase in allowable floor area for 316,948 square feet of floor area in lieu of the maximum 288,171 square feet otherwise permitted. A master conditional use permit to allow for the sale and dispensing of alcohol for on-site consumption at three establishments within the commercial uses of the project. A conditional use permit to allow for live entertainment and dancing within the commercial uses of the project site, and a site plan review for development project which creates over 50 dwelling units. Again, my name is Alan Como. I am the hearing officer assigned to this case and will be conducting the hearing for this case on behalf of the City Planning Commission. People wishing to speak or submit written testimony about this case should do so during this hearing. After the hearing, I will prepare a written staff report containing the Planning Department's recommendations to the City Planning Commission. As stated earlier, no decision is being made on the CPC case today. After this hearing, a written staff report will be prepared, which will include a summary of the public comments from the meeting and any written comments submitted to the file. The report will also contain the Planning Department's recommendations on the project to the City Planning Commission. This case is currently scheduled to go before the City Planning Commission on the September 24th meeting. If you wish to be informed of the decision of the meeting, a courtesy notice will be provided 21 days prior to the commission meeting date. to anyone who provides their name and email or mailing address on the interested parties list, which can be accessed by visiting tinyurl.com/interested-parties. Copies of the report will be made available on the Planning Department website prior to the commission meeting date. The commission meeting will be a public hearing. The commission may permit limited additional public testimony on this case at that time, but today's hearing is established to meet the legal notice and requirements prior to the commission meeting taking action, as well as for obtaining public input for the preparation of the staff report. If anyone wishes to submit additional information to the commission or take exception to the staff report or recommendations, they should do so in writing prior to the commission meeting. Information about the date and location of the commission meeting, along with instructions about where to send written communications, will be provided on the cover sheet of the staff report. The City Planning Commission will be making a recommendation to the City Council regarding the zone change, height district change, and height district change. The City Planning Commission will be making the decision, initial decision, regarding density bonus, master conditional use permit, and site plan review. The decision on the master conditional use permit, conditional use, and site plan review will be final unless appealed to the City Council, as well as the density bonus. This concludes the staff presentation.
Thank you, Alan. Would any of the committee members like to comment on the staff report or have any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, we will not hear from the applicant's representative. Please state your name clearly and then proceed, and you will hear a message that states you are unmuted. As a friendly reminder to those listening in, if you would like to follow along with the applicant's presentation, please do so from your own devices using the link provided on the first page of the meeting agenda or by visiting Tiny URL.
What do you want to change it to?
Okay. Visiting tinyurl.com/sharedrive. Okay, now I will share the public testimony. Based on the number of participants, I'm gonna limit the time to 3 minutes each. I appreciate your patience and we ask that you adjust as we adjust to the virtual hearing format. The hearing officer will not present instructions and announce the number of speakers.
I'm sorry, Alva, did we have applicant testimony?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I apologize. Let's go back. The applicant, would you like to present your presentation now? Is the applicant available for the presentation?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Andrew Brady from DLA Fiber. Kendra Casper was going to do the presentation, but I don't know if she's been muted on her end. She tried to press *6 and she hasn't been able to get on.
Yeah, I'm trying to unmute her right now.
Okay. He's trying to unmute you right now.
Kendra, can you go ahead and unmute yourself?
Hi, this is Kendra Casper. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Wonderful. Good morning to the advisory agency and committee and the hearing officer. My name is Kendra Casper of DLA Piper, and I represent the applicant, Riley Realty. I would like to give a brief presentation today on the project and modified alternative 2, and I will try not to go over the things that have already been gone over by Mr. Alan Como, who did an excellent job, and we appreciate all of his hard work. So for everybody who's following along on the slideshow, I'm looking at slide 1, which is just the introductory slide. for the 6220 Yucca project. Moving on to slide two. Slide two is an overview of the project site. The project is located on Yucca and Argyle Avenues in Hollywood. You can see here that the project is in close proximity to several different types of transit, including the Hollywood and Vine Metro line, which is only a couple blocks away from the project. The project's also located, besides being in a transit-rich area, it's in an area that also includes a number of office, commercial, hotel, residential uses that fit in nicely with the project and show that the project is compatible with the various uses surrounding the project site. Moving on to slide number three, you can see a close-up of the project site here on the intersection of Argyle Avenue and Yucca. As you can see, the current zoning of the site on this slide, we call them three parcels. There's the C4 2DSN parcel, the R4 2D parcel, and then the QR3 1XL. The project site on this slide is outlined in blue. Moving on to slide four. Slide four is a rendering of the project that was presented in the draft EIR. As you can see, this project consists of two buildings, a tower building, and then a low-rise residential building on the corner of Vista Del Mar Avenue. Moving on to slide five, this just shows the project facts related to the project presented in the draft EIR. It is a mixed-use project consisting of two buildings. The first building is a mix of residential, hotel, and commercial and restaurant uses, 20 stories in height, 197 new dwelling units, 136 hotel rooms, and approximately 12,570 square feet of commercial and restaurant uses. Building two, which was the low-rise building from the previous slide, was a residential-only building, approximately 47 feet tall, three stories, that would include 13 dwelling units. So the total for the project that was presented in the draft EIR would be 210 units, 136 hotel rooms, and approximately 12,570 square feet of commercial and restaurant uses. The FAR is 6.6 to 1. And the parking for that project would be provided in a six-level podium structure with two fully subterranean levels, two semi-subterranean levels, and two above ground levels. Moving on to slide six. As I noted, the project that was presented in the draft EIR was circulated for public comment and review. We received a number of comments, and the general feedback related to the project was as follows. There were several comments that were requesting affordable housing be added to the project. Also to note, the other requests included not demolishing the two residential buildings located on Vista Del Mar, which are part of the Vista Del Mar Carlos Historic District, but are non-contributing structures. The draft EIR project would demolish those two residential buildings and replace them with the low-rise residential building that had 13 units. Another feedback was to have no or very limited construction in the Vista Del Mar Carlos Historic District to further protect the district. And after review of the public comments as well, city planning requested that we consider alternative two as presented in the draft EIR, as well as preserving those residential buildings located in the Vista Del Mar Historic District. After getting all of that feedback, we went back to the drawing board, and I'm moving on to slide seven. And the project applicant is also proposing modified alternative two. Slide seven is a rendering of modified alternative two. This modified alternative two was presented in the final EIR that was posted several days before this hearing. This proposed modified alternative two took into account all of the feedback that we received from the community and the city as well. As you can see in this rendering, we only have one building and we are no longer demolishing the non-contributing residences along Vista Del Mar Avenue. If you move on to slide number 8, this is just another rendering of the proposed modified alternative 2. Moving on to slide 9, to discuss further the facts about proposed modified alternative 2, it would only be one mixed-use residential and commercial building, approximately 30 stories in height. There would be a total of 269 new dwelling units, which would include 17 very low-income affordable units. These were included based on the community feedback and feedback from the city. Further, 252 new dwelling units would be subject to the RSO. The project site, as noted by Alan Como, has 43 rent-controlled units on the site, and because of that, we will be replacing those units, and the entirety of the new dwelling units will be subject to the RSO, except for the 17 very low-income affordable units. The project also includes approximately 7,760 square feet of restaurant and commercial uses. And like the project, the floor area ratio remains at 6.6:1. Again, this preserves the two existing residences at 765 and 771 Vista Del Mar that are non-contributing structures within the Vista Del Mar Carlos district. And it replaces the surface parking lot that's on the corner of Yucca Street and Vista Del Mar with a public landscape open space. If you move on to slide 10, you can see the landscape site plan for modified alternative 2. And you can see how on the corner of Yucca Street and Vista Del Mar, that used to be, or it currently as it exists today, is a surface parking lot. And the project proposes to turn that into a publicly accessible landscaped open space. So that also is responding to the community feedback and the feedback we received from the city. So as you can see, the two existing homes will remain, the non-contributing structures, and the park will be constructed. So the only construction that will occur in the historic district is construction of the park. Moving on to slide number 11, these are the proposed modified alternative to elevations from the north and south. And moving on to slide 12, these are the proposed elevations for modified alternative to from the east and the west. And then moving on to slide 13, there is just a side-by-side picture. So you see the draft EIR project on the left, which includes the two buildings and the demolition of the two residences on Vista Del Mar to be replaced by the three-story residential building. And on the right side of the slide, you can see proposed modified alternative two, which is just the one singular building which retains the two non-contributing structures on Vista Del Mar and also includes the publicly accessible open space on the corner of Vista Del Mar. Moving on to slide 14, as Alan Como had mentioned in his opening remarks, the project and modified alternative two are considered environmental leadership development projects. The criteria for those, there's a number of criteria, but a few things of note. You have to have a minimum $100 million investment in California. create high-wage, highly skilled jobs, meeting prevailing wage and living requirements. The project has to be net zero in GHG emissions. You have to build to a LEED certification standard or better. In this case, this project was certified when the requirements were for LEED Silver, and you have to have transportation efficiency. So what that looks at as is vehicle miles traveled, or otherwise known as VMT. The requirement in the ELDP law is that the project has to reduce the VMTs by 10%, but this project actually reduces VMTs by approximately 30%. Moving on to slide 15, this is just some sustainability features of the project. We will exceed the Title 24 energy efficiency standards by a minimum of 5%. Using LED lighting and other energy efficient lighting technologies, reducing indoor water use by a minimum of 35%, reducing outdoor water use by a minimum of 50%, and the project will provide a minimum of 30 kilowatts of solar panels as well. Moving on to slide 16, the project entered into a project labor agreement in February of 2017. This project labor agreement, or also known as a PLA, ensures that the project will create high wage, highly skilled jobs that pay prevailing and living wages. Also, the project labor agreement includes that the project will participate in the Helmets to Hard Hats program, which is a program that employs veterans. And the project, both the project and modified alternative two, are committed to all of these sustainability features, the PLA, et cetera. Moving on to slide 17, this is the slide that contains the entitlements for the draft EIR. I will just briefly go through them since Alan Como went through them in detail earlier. The draft EIR project entitlements include a vesting tentative tract map, zone change and height district change, a master conditional use permit for alcohol, a conditional use permit to allow live entertainment and dancing, a conditional use permit to allow a hotel within 500 feet of an R zone, a conditional use permit for a major development project, and a site plan review. Moving on to slide 18, these are the entitlements for the proposed modified alternative two. They're very similar to the project, the same zone change and height district change. A different entitlement is the density bonus compliance review for including the 17 very low income units. We will be requesting one on menu incentive to permit a 10% increase in the allowable floor area, a master conditional use permit for the sale of alcohol, a conditional use permit for live entertainment and dancing, site plan review, and a vesting tentative track map. Moving on to slide 19. This slide is just a picture of the vesting tentative track map number 73718. This is the tract map for modified alternative two, which is the project that the applicant would prefer to move forward with. As you can see, we're asking for one ground lot for the high-rise building, as well as airspace lots for the various commercial and parking levels. The next slide is also a slide of vesting tentative tract map for the modified alternative two. In this slide, you can see the requested airspace lots. The draft EIR project also included a tentative track map with a proposed haul route for the export of 41,944 cubic yards of dirt. The proposed modified two alternative, the track map that you can see in the slides, is also asking for a subdivision, but into one master ground lot and five airspace lots The proposed haul route for the modified alternative 2 would be for the export of less dirt, so approximately 23,833 cubic yards. Moving on to slide 21. Slide 21 is just a comparison of the entitlements. And as you can see, the entitlements for both the draft EIR project and proposed modified alternative 2 are very similar, except that modified alternative 2 includes the density bonus compliance review with the one on menu incentive, and does not include the conditional use permit for a hotel, and also no longer includes the major development project CUP. So moving on to slide 22, that concludes the presentation from the applicant. We've reviewed the staff report and we have no comments at this time. Also, I wanted to mention that we have a number of our various team members on the line if there are any questions or additional information required. With that, thank you very much. And I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments at this time? All right. Hearing none, I will now hear public testimony regarding the project. As I stated previously, based on the number of participants, I'm going to limit the time to 3 minutes per speaker. I appreciate your patience as we adjust to the virtual hearing format. The hearing officer will now present instructions and announce the number of speakers.
Hi, this is Alan Como, the hearing officer for this case. As stated previously, we do have a number of people who are in the room. To indicate that you would like to speak on this case, please press *9. That will raise your hand, which we are able to see your hand raised, and we will have someone call on you when it is your turn to speak. They will call by announcing the last 4 digits of your phone number and telling you to press *6 to unmute yourself at that time. So please be attentive to listening to the last 4 digits of your phone number to be called. We are not going in any particular order of how you joined the meeting or anything like that. So please just listen for the last 4 digits. And again, they will tell you to press *6 at that time to unmute yourself. And when you do unmute yourself, please note that you'll have one opportunity to speak. So please make your comments comprehensive and concise. If you have follow-up questions or comments following your turn to speak, you may submit those in writing to me as the hearing officer, but also the planner for the case. I will take those, so you can submit those to me. So I am going to take a quick second to just count the number of people. Again, we had approximately 30 or so people with their phone numbers. So I'm going to count how many people have raised their hand wishing to speak. So if you could just give me a moment to do that. It appears right now as though we have 13 people, approximately 13 people who at this moment have pressed *9, indicating that they wish to speak. Obviously, until you hear that public testimony is closed, you can, if you have not spoken yet or not raised your hand yet, you will be able to press *9 to do that. I'm seeing a few more roll in. So I would say at this time, we approximately have probably about 15 or so people who have currently raised their hand. So again, listen for the last 4 digits of your phone number to be called and the instructions to press *6 to unmute yourself. When you are done speaking or when the time is up or you are done speaking, so you will hear a chime indicating that the 3 minutes has expired. At that moment, you will be placed on mute after that time. You will hear now from my colleague, Jason McRae, who will announce the last four digits of your phone number to begin your testimony.
Participant 3098, you're now muted.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the project. This is Kathleen Unger. I'm an attorney with Advocates for the Environment, a public interest law firm representing the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. My address is 10211 Sunland Boulevard. As you know, the project requires demolition of 43 rent-stabilized units. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation objects to the demolition of rent-stabilized housing, which displaces existing tenants, disrupts their lives, and risks them falling into homelessness, and results in the loss of affordable homes. The RSO units that would be created by the project would be market rate and not affordable. That would price them out of the reach of the existing tenants and many residents of the Hollywood area and the larger Los Angeles region. The modified alternative 2 would provide for some affordable housing, but it would still represent a significant increase in the cost of housing for the majority of residents and would still result in the displacement of current tenants. Although we believe the project should not go forward, if it does, there should be a condition of approval requiring the new units to be subject to the rent stabilization ordinance, because the ordinance itself has exceptions that make it potentially to fall out of the ordinance. Additionally, there should be conditions of approval that should guarantee current tenants a relocation package and a right to return at the same rent that they're currently paying. In addition to these concerns about housing, Advocates for the Environment and the AIDS Healthcare Foundation are concerned about the many deficiencies in the environmental review for the project, many of which were detailed in a letter that we submitted on the draft EIR. Those include deficient analysis of greenhouse gas emissions, impacts to air quality, hazardous materials impacts, transportation and traffic, noise, and cultural resources impacts. And I did want to note, to the extent that the original project is still being considered, the analysis concluding that both 1765 and 1771 Vista Del Mar are not contributors to the historic district was not correctly reached. So although we're glad to see that the modified alternative 2 would preserve the structures that are part of the historic residential district, many other environmental impacts remain and are inadequately analyzed. For all of these reasons, we believe that the project should not be approved. And this concludes my comments. Thank you very much.
Caller 7727, you're now unmuted.
Yes, good morning. My name is Vilia Zamaitidis. I am the daughter of Romas and Marie Zamaitidis, who are the property owners at 1763 Vista Del Mar. This would be the property directly adjacent to the two structures that are being proposed for demolition in the current project. It is a duplex. The duplex has been in my family a long time, and it is the only rental income, rental property that my parents have. Unfortunately, they're not on the call. My dad has Parkinson's and dementia, and my mom has other health issues. So I'm speaking on their behalf. Thank you so much for the opportunity to comment, and we really appreciate Alan Como's responsiveness and helpfulness during this process. We submitted comments actually to you, both the advisory board and obviously Alan Como is the hearing officer, and in which we identified our property and also commented on the environmental concerns and comments that we submitted on the draft EIR, which were actually responded to in the response to comments. Our concerns, obviously, being right next door to the large project, you know, light on air quality, noise, vibration, and those comments were addressed, obviously, legally responded to in the final EIR. You know, but clearly we still have great concerns with a project being constructed, you know, 6 feet away from ours. And in this case, demolishing the two structures and proposing a three-story project, 13 units, with two levels of subterranean garage. And I'm not sure if the advisory board was able to actually do a Google Street View of Vista Del Mar. It's a very small, narrow street. It has one and two-story residences. These are all very low-scale, low-density residences. The street is so narrow that you literally cannot have two cars going in either direction at one time. There's no on-street parking. Thank you. And so, you know, we object to the current proposal. We support the modified Alternative 2 proposal simply because it maintains the two existing homes. It does not result in a project that's looming out of character in the historic district. It doesn't add for additional traffic or additional massing on Vista Del Mar, which in this case would be removing two residences from clearly only 10 project sites or 10 lots on Vista Del Mar. So please take a look at our comment letter, which goes into further detail regarding our concerns. But for the sake of the neighborhood, for the sake of our residents, for the sake of the historic district, we oppose the demolition of the two existing residences and support the modified alternative two. With that said, we'll also submit comments for the Planning Commission, but thank you so much for your consideration.
Participant 8052, you're now unmuted.
Hello. My name is Luis Saldivar. I am a resident of the proposed project, 6220 Yucca Street. So I first want to say that I find this whole process appalling and disrespectful, unprofessional, and unacceptable on behalf of the planning department and the city. The fact that, you know, Alan Como, Mr. Como, and Ms. Casper are saying that we have been given enough time to review this and for the public to comment and review this is bogus. It's a lie. We have not been, the final EIR was supposedly put out August 7th, and I never got a final EIR. I live here, and we never got the final EIR. The developer has never held his word on what he promised the tenants of these RSO properties. Let me see. Obviously, the developer's speculation is wrong, given all the extraordinary events that have transpired this year of 2020. I also want to quote and reference the Los Angeles Times, strong evidence quake faults run through site of Hollywood skyscrapers, the state says, state geologist, from July 22nd, 2020, by Rong Ging Lin. So I want to say, first off, the fact that you guys are trying to build a 20, 30-story tower directly on an earthquake fault is just wrong and a huge liability to the residents and the community of the great city of Los Angeles. Second, I would like to address the loss of RSO housing in Los Angeles, plus the displacement of longtime residents of the Hollywood community, some who were born in Hollywood and some who have lived on the proposed site for over 60 years. I honestly find it very, very wrong that you guys have said that you have given the public enough time to review this. That is just not right.
We have 1 minute remaining.
Thank you. Furthermore, I do not understand the fact that you guys gave a new proposed project number two, proposed project number two, when that was out of the blue. We have never seen that We have never heard about that. That was a brand new thing, and there was not enough time to review any of that. The applicant has not shown in good faith anything. They have given cash for keys to several of our most vulnerable tenants, like minorities, families, and seniors. There are deficiencies in the traffic report and the earthquake report, and I overwhelmingly think this project should not be approved. Thank you.
Participant 0206, you're unmuted.
Hi, Susan Hunter here, Housing Human Rights, as well as Los Angeles Tenants Union Hollywood Local. First off, it's very hard to hear the numbers being called out. I don't know if it's you're just away from the microphone, but it's extremely difficult to hear our phone numbers. And some of the staff are very hard to hear. So if we could please speak clearly, and I think that just attests to why we shouldn't be pushing forward on projects like this in the middle of a pandemic, when we can't actually have real public participation, not like the planning department really cares about real public participation, but you know, we can't keep ramrodding through projects that are really destructive to our community and not have any community input, because that's not the way our communities were set up to be. Firstly, the ELDP status, that was assigned on a Project A proposal with the hotel element. So if they're going to be removing the hotel element, then we need to reassess the ELDP status under state, and that should be a requirement to make sure that we're actually following the law. As far as the issue around housing, we're talking about the loss of 43 affordable RSO units to either replace with zero affordable units under Plan A or only 17 affordable units under Plan B, which means that at the very least, this is a loss of 26 affordable units to change that with 252 RSO luxury units that the developer is touting as somehow being a fair return, and it's not. The planning department must require a guaranteed plan for right of return as a condition of approval to comparable units in the new development, as well as the same rent for 43 units, not to include the 17 for the density bonus, because otherwise that's double dipping. What is the point of a right of return of saying, well, you know, we didn't make them homeless, but we're not going to build any housing for anybody else who's currently homeless or rent burdened. So actually what we need is 60 affordable units in total. And realistically, under the CRA plan for the entire Hollywood area, we have not met our 15% area-wide requirement for affordable housing, which means that realistically, we should be demanding 100% of the structure needs to be affordable, because we've already liquidated all the CRA money to develop affordable housing in this area, and for some reason, we just kind of failed to do it. We were in court with Kendra Casper and her firm on this last year over the Crossroads project, where the city attorney admitted that this is a problem and that we are not on the trajectory that we need to provide the affordable housing that we absolutely need in this area. And I'm sure Kendra's shaking her head, I don't care, because if you're not going to build the housing that we actually need for our community, don't bother to build here and go somewhere else. If the developer says that they actually plan on doing a real right of return, then they shouldn't have a problem putting that in writing. And for some reason, for the last 3 years, that has never materialized. So they shouldn't have a problem agreeing to this as a condition of approval. And state law requires a safe and habitable unit for tenancy. How can it be safe and habitable on top of multiple active fault lines, not to mention the LADOT issues for backing up traffic all the way onto the highway, which is going to cause more accidents, because Lord knows what we need in LA is more traffic. Thank you for your time.
Participant 4975, please press star 6.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Paul, and I'm a resident of Hollywood. I support Modified Alternative 2. I believe the developer has done the right thing in preserving the two homes on Vista Del Mar, which will help preserve Vista Del Mar, the Colors District. I support this type of integrity and development. Thank you.
Six, seven, nine, two, please press star 6. 6792, please press star 6. Caller 6792, please press star 6. Okay, I'm going to move on and we'll come back. Caller 2980, oh, sorry.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Hello?
We can hear you.
All right. This is Jim McQuiston. I'll speak quickly. This is the wrong location for the intended uses. HUD limits this kind of housing to 6 or less stories because of environmental problems they found. John's, Villa Lobos, and Super King markets are too far away for the residents that are supposed to live here to go shopping. You need 2 jobs to afford this. That means that the people are not going to be home. They're going to need 2 vehicles for their jobs because they go in different places. And if they want to buy frozen food or ice cream, they got to have a car. There's no park close by for kids. There's supposed to be 105 5-acre parks in the CD13 alone, and they're not here. There's no school available for the population expected. There's no street or sidewalk that's supposed to be expanded for the population. The 65 dB noise is 100 times louder than LAMC allows. The hotel across the street puts out 80 dB of noise, unmuffled, an engine that starts and stops at various times of night and day for hours, and we can't control it. And that's still going to go on. That's one of the problems. But the second problem is that they have never put in their loading dock, which they were supposed to put in, and I suppose that would happen here too. So the street will be impassable. Regional Center Commercial is not legally recognized by the government code. So this is completely haywire. So please, please, please try to observe what the state wants. They don't want haphazard zoning. They don't want haphazard development. This is, by definition, haphazard development. We've taken 12 years and 15 years to plan the Hollywood plans. I was on the CRA board. We just can't stand this kind of development. It's just in the wrong place. Put it somewhere else where it's appreciated. Thank you.
Sorry, caller 2980, please press star 6.
Good morning. This is Adrian Scott Fine with the Los Angeles Conservancy. We're at 523 6th Street in downtown Los Angeles. The Conservancy provided comments on the draft environmental impact report for this project, primarily raising concerns regarding impacts to the California Register listed Vista Del Mar San Carlos Historic District, as the current project proposed to demolish 2 residences within the district boundaries and to construct the proposed project. This would represent a significant loss to the district. The modified alternative 2 addresses our primary concerns, satisfies our concerns in terms of the loss of these 2 properties. So we appreciate staff and the applicant for listening to our concerns and addressing that. And we would encourage and certainly press the modified alternative to become the project as it moves forward, certainly before the City Planning Commission. Thank you.
Participant 1244, please press star 6.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect. My name is Marcello. I live in Hollywood. I support the modified alternative too. It's a great development, I think. I think it meets all the requirements needed. I think it'll be a great refreshment to the area of Yucca and Argyle, as it is a little dense. I mean, dark. It's not really a seeked out area to go by, and I think something like this would actually improve the area. Thank you.
Participant 5087, please press star 6.
Yes, this is Brian Curran representing Hollywood Heritage. My address is 501 South Plymouth Boulevard. Hollywood Heritage is opposed to the project currently proposed due to the significant adverse impacts that it would have with regards to the Vista Del Mar Historic District, including the demolition of two altered contributors within the district boundaries, resulting in a 20% loss of the district and the loss of a complete streetscape. We also regard the size and the scale of the building as out of character with the surrounding district, which will also have the cumulative impact of further altering the setting and of several historic resources in the surrounding area. Hollywood Heritage, however, commends the applicant for proposing modified alternative 2, which would retain the two altered contributors, returning them to single family usage and thus preserve the district. We would like the applicant to go further and see a qualified preservation architect involved in the planning and execution of a Secretary of the Interior Standards compliant rehabilitation for both 1765 and 1771 North Vista Del Mar, as well as the commission of a preservation easement to protect the homes in perpetuity. We would also request the commission of a preservation plan for the entire Vista Del Mar Carlos District for the continued protection and maintenance of the entire district. While we tentatively support and cautiously support modified alternative 2, we still remain opposed to the size and scale of the project, which alters the setting of the district as well as many historic resources in the surrounding area and is in contradiction to the current plans, the Hollywood Community Redevelopment Plan, the Hollywood Core Transition District, and Hollywood Boulevard Urban Design Districts. And would encourage the applicant to go back to revise their design to be a little more in compliance with those plans. And with that, I conclude my comments.
Participant 5733, please press star 6.
Hello, thank you everyone. My name is Shauna Johnson. I am with LATU and also with the Yucca Argyle Tenants Association. I object to this development and to the destruction of any of our city's precious RSO housing stock, as well as bringing the additional traffic, noise pollution, and seismic concerns to Hollywood. I want to emphasize that if this project is considered for approval, there must be a plan for guaranteed full right of return at current RSO rents and a relocation package for all the current tenants made as a condition for approval of this development. This will prevent our displacement and our potential homelessness. We don't need more luxury housing in Hollywood, and we don't need more hotels in Hollywood. Thank you very much.
Participant 9318, please press star 6. Participant 9318, please press star 6.
Hi there, good morning. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. My name is Toni Ann Marinaccio, and I've been a Hollywood resident for about 25 years now. And I am definitely supporting the modified or alternative two. I think that it definitely meets all the requirements, preserving the neighborhood. It's maintaining the two homes. And I feel like, especially with, you know, staying within the RSO units, that the city, the developer is staying within all of the requirements. So I am supporting. Thank you so much.
Participant 8479, please press star 6.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Travis Eaton. I'm a local Hollywood resident for the last 6 years, working in the hospitality industry. Just like to say that I support Modified Alternative 2 because any project that helps address the current housing crisis is a good one. And this is adding 17 low-income units that will be brand new that helps, you know, keep people's morale up, living in a newer unit, less stress on both parties, the landlord and tenant. And I do like that this also keeps the rest of the project rent control. It offers the current residents options to maintain their cost of living, you know, even throughout the development process. And I also appreciate that this plan works to preserve these historic residences. You know, cities are all too quick to let their history go by the wayside. And yeah, we need updated housing and we need job creation. This project creates both. So I think we need more of these people over profits projects within the city. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Participant 9187, please press star 6.
My name is Ismael Arredondo. I'm a member of Argyle Civic Association. I live here for 24 years. These are the many holes in this project. Number one, the traffic. You haven't resolved the problem that we have on the freeway 101 entrance and exits on this. Another one, there was not enough time for us to respond to you, all of us. We're thousands of people who live in this area, in this project. Another one, you're making too many assumptions about truck parking. You have to guarantee the parking for these people and make them to park in the building and not in the parking that we have on the streets that we have for free. Because the tendency, the buildings that we have, the hotel and the Argyle, the building across the street, they come to park over our area. And so we have no parking here. We have a problem with that. Another one. You are not including the last report that comes from the USGS that was issued on May the 2020, which says it's an active stand of fault process in the project. It's an active part of the project here on the fault. So there is nothing about the earthquake situation here. The traffic report that you have, you don't include the intersection of this Argyle and Jaca. You must have to have that there. As it is, even though you cannot consider it right now because of the COVID, so many people are not driving or not driving right now. It's awful to travel right now as it is, especially during the rush hours. And the renters, they have to have in writing the right to return. No dilly-dally, no, don't come to funny business on this. This is not a good project, sir.
1 minute left.
Thank you.
Participant 1317, please press star 6.
Hey,
Hey, how you doing over here, Sauce Boss? So I think this project is a great thing. You know, as long as you guys preserve what's around there, it should be preserved and keep everything cool. Clean up that corner, you know, some of it's scumbag shit over there. So, yeah, I support this project 100%. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. You have a good day. Sauce Boss out. Peace out. Ciao.
Participant 8077, please press star 6.
Hello? Hello, we can hear you.
Hi, my name is Mariana. I live in the current project that's going to be developed in Yucca Archive. I would like to say first most that please I strongly suggest not to move forward with the project. During a worldwide pandemic, it is uncertain, and we don't know when it will be resolved. I would like to say that most of the tenants that reside in this apartment building complex, they're mostly seniors, disabled, families, and minorities. We have not received anything in writing from the developer, not as such as the RSO and the EIR, we don't have anything in writing. Plus the proposed project number 2 that came also out of the blue, we're not even aware of that. And honestly, during the pandemic, I'm pretty sure that most of the residents here are Spanish speaking. They don't have a translator. They don't have idea of what's going on. So it's really unethical to move forward with a hearing like this, especially during a pandemic, like everything is uncertain. And thank you for your time.
Do we have any other speakers, Jason?
No, there doesn't appear to be any other speaker.
Yeah, raise hand.
Participant 8864, please press star 6.
Yes, hi. My name is Stanley Chapman. I'm a longtime citizen. I've been living in Los Angeles for 63 years, and I've been listening to the comments by the developers and by the speakers for and against. I'm here to ask, why does the city of Los Angeles continue to build housing and go under the auspice of affordable housing when it's clearly not affordable housing? It's housing for well-incomed people, as the developer spokesperson said. I go out on Sunday, every Sunday since the pandemic, and pass out food because of food shelters that used to provide food in are closed because of the pandemic. The city of Los Angeles and the city of Hollywood does not have a shortage of housing. It has a shortage of affordable housing. When will the city demand that developers provide housing that people can afford? They keep giving these buzzwords, affordable housing, and they're going to have so many units designated for people that they consider low income. It's all a myth. Housing, we have enough housing. We just don't have enough housing that people can afford. When is the city going to demand that developers put it in writing, give the tenants that they're trying to displace something in writing guaranteeing that they can come back and get the housing at the same rate that they were paying before? A new housing is great, but housing is going to be old. Calling something affordable that isn't affordable and using buzzwords and telling the commission that, oh, we're going to have affordable housing, we're going to have low-income housing, that sounds nice, but when it comes to actuality, it's not. We have units all over the city of Los Angeles, in Hollywood, that are sitting empty. Please, when you're looking at deciding what to do, get it in writing. Get something that will give people security. This is not about a project. This is about people's lives. Please. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason. Hi, Alva, are there any other callers? Any other?
I don't see any, but if anyone else would like to speak, please press star 9. I don't see any additional hands raised. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just saw a hand come up. Yeah.
Participant 8511, please press star 6.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. My name is Eduardo Martinez, and I really oppose this project. It's been too long. Every time we have a meeting, every time we have a hearing, no words, no action. Now, I don't know. I've been living here for 50 years in the town of LA. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys remember what happened way back like 40 years ago when the city of LA gave the right to a rich gentleman from New York to come in this place. A neighborhood in the Chavez Ravine in order to build that stadium. That's gentrification. That's what you guys are doing here. You're giving the right of the developers to throw residents away. You know, everybody's mentioned it. This is not a good project. If you listen to the people that live there, that work nearby, or that enjoy going to Hollywood. Building 17 units, affordable units, affordable for who? They're not affordable for low-income people or fixed-income residents. Most of the residents around there are older residents on a fixed income. We cannot let them build this in Hollywood. Now, you are not giving anything in writing. I heard some of the callers before me. You're not giving anything in writing to reassure that those residents are going to come back and be able to live in those affordable units. Affordable to you or affordable to the people that work three jobs during the week in order to support some rent. You cannot do that. We are not allowing that. We cannot allow that to happen anywhere in the county of LA. So please, I ask you not to go ahead with a project for the
1 minute left.
Stop the project. And do not become part of the homeless population in Hollywood or in the county of LA. Thank you.
Participant 4719, please press star 6.
Hello, commissioners. My name is Josh. I'm a 42-year resident of Los Angeles. Man, the NIMBYs and the vacancy truthers are out in force, aren't they? I encourage you to build this project. I mean, when was the last time you got hundreds of voluntarily rent-stabilized units in Hollywood? Not to mention affordable housing units as well, not to mention the preservation aspect. I mean, the Conservancy's on board for this? You guys better build this right now before it goes away. We have a massive housing crisis here in Los Angeles. Build more housing now, period. That's it. Thanks.
Again, please, if you'd like to speak, please press star 9 at this time. Okay, Alva, I'm not seeing any. I'll wait a couple more seconds.
We'll give them a few more seconds and then we'll proceed. All right, thank you, Jason. I don't see any other raised hands, so I'm going to move forward. The public comment period is now closed for this project. We would now allow the applicant's representative to respond to the concerns raised. Can you also address the issue that was brought up on the ELDP status with the change of the Modified Alternative 2 project? And also, in addition to other comments raised, also your outreach to Spanish-speaking bilingual people who are currently living on the site.
applicant.
Hello, this is Kendra Casper. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, excellent. So I'll start off with your first question regarding the ELDP status. So the project was certified by the governor of California as an ELDP project in 2017. That was under the law that was in effect at that point when the project was certified was SB 734. There is no requirement in SB 734 that a project alternative gets reassessed or recertified under the as an ELDP project. The way that the ELDP statute was written at that time, and actually is still currently written, requires the governor to certify a project prior to the draft EIR being circulated for public review. And the way that it works is not to come back. It's clear under the statute that if a environmentally superior alternative is selected, which is what would be required under CEQA, that there is no reason that it needs to go back and be reassessed to be recertified as an ELDP project. Okay. I think your second question was related to what have we done in relationship to Spanish outreach or outreach to the tenants at the project site. So there are a number of things related to the tenants at the project site. We have a relocation specialist that's actually on site at the project that is open to speak to the tenants at any time related to any questions they have about their tenancy, about relocation rights, about the Ellis Act, about a right to return, any of those things. So there's actually somebody currently on site every single day that the tenants can speak to. They are also the gentleman who lives on the site that the tenants can speak to does not speak Spanish. However, he has Spanish translators available, so anybody who needs translation into Spanish can receive that. Any and all required or non-required notices that the owner has sent to the tenants has been sent in both Spanish and English to accommodate the Spanish-speaking tenants. Also, there have been a few, you know, prior to the pandemic when we could actually meet in person, there were a few meetings with the tenants. Spanish translation was available at those meetings. And the actual owner of the property, his name is Robert Champion, was actually there and spoke personally to the tenants about the project and what was going to happen moving forward. So those are a variety of outreach that has been done to the tenants and everything, like I said, that we have given the tenants is also translated into Spanish. There's been Spanish translators available. And the consultant who's on site also has access to a Spanish translator. So anytime somebody requests that, we can fulfill that request.
Okay. Did you want to address any other questions and issues brought up by the public?
Sure. So let me go through my notes. Okay, so first there was a number of comments about affordable housing. So as I mentioned in the presentation, the applicant, although we discussed both projects today, the draft EIR project and the modified alternative 2 project, would like to move forward, is requesting that the city look at moving forward the modified alternative 2, which includes 17 very low income affordable units. Those units will be covenanted per the state density bonus law, so they will be a requirement on the site. So they will be available for, as I said, 17 very low-income units covenanted per state law. There was a number of comments about the RSO. Currently, there are 43 RSO units on the site. Those units will be demolished to make way for the new project, again, which we would propose to be modified alternative two. There are several laws, state laws, city laws, that govern how you deal with removing RSO units from the market and when you're replacing them. We are currently following all of those laws. One of those laws is called the Ellis Act. If the project would be approved and the Ellis Act process starts, we will be following the Ellis Act process every step of the way. The Ellis Act allows for relocation payments for current tenants on the project site, and we will be fully complying with the Ellis Act. There are also requirements for replacing units when you remove them from the market, and the law that is applicable to the project and to modified alternative two requires that you have to either replace with affordable, or you need to have the entirety of your project that is not affordable be subject to the rent control ordinance, and that is what we are doing. There will be 252 rent stabilized units in modified alternative two, as well as the 17 very low income units. There were noted deficiencies relating in the environmental impact report. There was no substantial evidence given today about what any of those deficiencies were, just general deficiencies related to GHG, air quality, traffic, and noise. We believe that the city's draft EIR and final EIR in response to comments deals with all of those issues and the purported deficiencies that some of the speakers were discussing today. And we agree with the city that their environmental document is supported by substantial evidence and that there are, in fact, no deficiencies related to any of those environmental issues. There were a number of comments related to frustration regarding people feeling like they did not have enough time to get ready for the hearing or to review some of the documentation, and that this project is being ramrodded through the process. I'd like to note that this project was actually applied for in December of 2014. So we've been in the city planning process for almost 4 years now. There's been no ramrodding here. All of the environmental documents, the draft EIR, the final EIR were posted and adequate time was given per state law and per CEQA. And so the comments related to, I understand if people feel like they didn't have enough time, but the timing is compliant with the CEQA law, and all the posting and noticing was done in compliance with the law as well. There were other comments regarding affordable housing in the area. There was a comment related to that Hollywood has not met the 15% area-wide affordable housing requirement as required under the redevelopment plan. And that speaker also noted that that there was a litigation previously related to this. And in that litigation, the judge ruled that the area-wide 15% requirement under the redevelopment plan was not a project per project requirement. It is exactly what it says it is in the redevelopment plan, an area-wide affordable housing requirement. So this project, by including the 17 very low income units in modified alternative 2, would actually help increase the affordable housing in the community plan area and help the city meet that area-wide 15% requirement. There were a number of tenants from the project site that discussed their possible displacement from the project. As a private matter, I have mentioned that the developer, Robert Champion, actually spoke to the tenants on the site at the project, and he has been in discussions with the tenants to offer the current tenants at the project site the right to return to a comparable unit at their current rent. It would be something similar to a private rent control where their rent could only be increased pursuant to whatever the rent control ordinance at the city says. That is a private, that would be a private agreement and a private right between the developer and the tenants at the site. The tenants do have a letter from Mr. Champion that lays all of those issues out. So they do have a writing for him, and there will be the right to return offer. But again, that's a private agreement between the developer and the tenants at the project site. Sorry, I'm just looking through my notes to see what else.
I think you covered the comments.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I just want to make a note that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, there were some comments about the earthquake fault, and we have Mike Reeder, who is our geotech. Who is the geotech expert on the project, and perhaps you could speak for a moment about the earthquake fault.
Go ahead.
Mike, could you please raise your hand?
Mike, could you please raise your hand? I don't have access to your phone number right now. I believe I see who you are. Could you please press *9? Go ahead, Mike. Sorry about that. Press *6, Mike. Please press *6, Mike.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, sorry about that. So I'm Mike Reeder. I'm the principal geotechnical engineer with Group Delta. We've done numerous studies at this site, and I know several of the commenters raised questions about earthquakes and earthquake faults, and I just want to address that, a few of the bullet points. You know, seismic safety and what we do is very important. It's obviously important to everybody in California and to us as people who study earthquakes and earthquake hazards. One of the hazards is what's called ground fault rupture, which is potentially dangerous if there's a building built on an active fault. 1971, San Fernando, there were several fault ruptures and the state recognized the hazard. And so in 1972, passed the Alquist-Briolo, what's called the Special Study Zones Act. And what the act does is it says the state of California, California Geologic Service shall draw maps, and the maps shall be 500 feet either side of faults, probable earthquake faults that they think might be active. So the zones are about 1,000 feet wide. Then in the zones, which are called special study zones, Anybody wanting to obtain a building permit has to do a special study by experienced geologists looking for earthquake faults. We've done several of those studies, which have included numerous lines of borings and two trenches. Those reports, well, the trenches have been observed by city geologists, state geologists, and recognized earthquake fault experts who were part of our studies. The results of all of those studies have been submitted to the city. The city has reviewed and approved those for purposes of this project. We've looked in detail at the recent information from USGS that the California Geologic Survey has commented on. The bottom line is that the new information does not change the map, and therefore it does not change the requirement for the results of our study and does not change the approval given by the city. So everyone here, ourselves, the developer, and the city have done what is legally required to ensure that the project is not built on an active fault.
Does that conclude your comment, Mike?
Yeah, sorry. That concludes my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to clarify something that was said. In terms of a private agreement, the city does not have the authority to enforce private agreements and cannot be party to any private agreement, and as such, it cannot be part of any city action. I just wanted to clarify that. All right. Now we're going to go to a subdivision committee and give them an opportunity to speak or provide comments.
Georgia Galvanesian Bureau of Engineering is here. Like to make a few comments here. I think in the staff report in the beginning under engineering conditions, the improvement conditions are repeated correctly under S3, so may not be necessary to appear there. So it could be eliminated. That's one thing I've seen there, I think. If you look at the, let me see, page, okay, let me see here. Yeah. And so just make sure that improvement conditions that appear up front under the specific conditions also are under S3 conditions, which they do. Make sure that it's not duplicate before you issue the decision letter if you issue it. Just that's one comment.
They should be on S3 only.
Yeah. The other conditions could be at the under engineering specific conditions, but improvement should go under S3 for either project.
Yes.
Yeah, and then like Alan Como said, whichever project you approve, alternative one or alternative two, you can eliminate the references to the first one and only leave the ones that only apply to alternative two. And in the end, I'd like to say that after hearing the closing comments by applicant's representative, Kendra Casper, that she said that she has read the staff report and she has no comments. So I like to state it again for the record that a representative from the applicant, Kendra Casper, let the record show that applicant representative has no comment and or objections to city engineer's recommendations. So therefore, I will send a memo for this, make sure that it stays in the record to all the planning staff, and a copy would be put in a project file for any future reference that informing all interested party that no issues were raised as far as the Bureau of Engineering recommendations to the advisory agency. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Yes, this is Gil de la Cruz from Bureau of Street Lighting. For the record, this is for the modified map. The street lighting condition is one new street light on Argyle Avenue. If street widening per BOE, relocate and upgrade a street light on one on Yuga Street. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Any other members have any comments? All right. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, this is Alan. Reckon Parks did submit a revision to their condition that was submitted. I don't know if the of our Rec and Parks member is still with us right now in the hearing. If they would like to speak to that, if not, I can.
Hi, this is Lagaya Kennebong from Rec and Parks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, my Zoom got unconnected. It was a issue. But I will read this into the record that we have a correction on the Recreation and Parks condition. Previously, it had read that the Quimby fee be based on the R3 zone, and we would like to correct it to read that the Quimby fee be based on the R3 and C2 zones.
Very well. Thank you.
And then, sorry, Elva, to jump back in. This is Alan Como planning again. I just want to make sure the correction correct here with the condition, and that is to assess the Quimby fee, the C2 fees for the C2 zone properties, and the R3 fees for the R3 zone properties. Is that correct?
Yes, and generally down the line, they would need to supply the unit amounts for each of those zones so that we can charge them accordingly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Elva,
Go ahead.
One more point of order, just because we've received the updated conditions from Rec and Park, an updated condition from Bureau of Street Lighting, and new conditions from LADOT. Their project-specific conditions as well as haul route conditions, that any action that you take would just reflect the addition of and correction for all conditions.
Okay.
I'm done now.
Okay, very good. All right, very well. So based on the findings and facts presented in the staff recommendation report, public testimony, and based on the whole of the administrative record, I approve and certify the Environmental Impact Report, ENV 2014-4706, EIR, for the 6220 West Yucca project. Adopt the mitigation and monitoring program and statement of overriding considerations, and approve with conditions in the staff report and the additional and corrected conditions and modified conditions presented at this hearing, Bessing Tentative Tract Map 73718, stamp dated July 27, 2020, pursuant to the modified Alternative 2 project as identified in the final EIR. I also approve the associated haul route subject to the conditions in the staff report. This concludes the public hearing for item number 1 on the agenda. To reiterate, the case is scheduled to be heard by the City Planning Commission on September 24, 2020. Copies of the agenda for that meeting may be obtained approximately 1 week before the meeting date by either calling the Commission office at 213-978-1300 or visiting the Planning Department's website at planning.lacity.org. If you would like to be added to the interested parties list to receive further notices, reports, and decision letters for the agenda items from today's meeting, please fill out the interested parties form located on the meeting agenda. The agenda is available on the department website or by contacting the staff planner. You can also access the list directly by visiting tinyurl.com/interested-party. It is now 11:43. This concludes the public hearing for 6220 West Yucca Street. Thank you for your participation.